Seeing is believing. Or is it? Seeing is believing. Or do our eyes deceive us? Seeing is believing. Or is believing seeing? As we look at the gospel text for this Easter sunrise service, John's account of the empty tomb is plagued with questions, doubts, misunderstandings. From our perspective as Christians 2,000 years later, the narrative seems pretty straightforward, most convincing. But for the first Christians at the tomb, Mary, John, and Peter, what they saw is not what we see from our vantage point. What they first saw is not what we see today. Of course, we weren't there, were we? We weren't there for the angel's proclamation, the birth in the manger, the trip to Egypt. We weren't there for Jesus as a 12-year-old preaching in the temple. We weren't there to witness the miracles, the teachings, the ministry, and the passion predictions of this man from Galilee. We weren't there for the shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, of Palm Sunday, and the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We weren't there when the throngs and the crowds turned on him. We weren't there for the trial, when they chose a murderer over Jesus to be set free. We weren't there when the Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross at the order of Pilate. We weren't there when they gambled for his clothing. We weren't there when he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We weren't there when they took him down and laid him in a tomb. We weren't there on that Easter morning when they found the tomb empty, the body of Jesus presumed missing, taken, mysteriously gone. We just weren't there. But there were people there for some, most, or all of it. They heard his teaching, saw Jesus perform miracles, even raise a man from the dead. Yet they still didn't understand or believe what they were seeing. On this early morning so many years ago, the tomb was empty. Yet a resurrected Lord is not what they see. Seeing is believing. Or is it? Our eyes can, and sometimes do, deceive us. The first to the tomb saw a stolen Jesus. What they heard, what they had previously witnessed, is not what they saw that morning. They saw a Jesus that was missing, taken, laid somewhere else. We too can suffer from seeing and being deceived. We see, but are often deceived by the devil, the world, by our own sinful nature. We can read the word and not see Jesus, our eyes clouded and distorted by our own wants and desires, what we want the word to say. We can see a baptism and see only a ritual in water and not see a lost soul united with Jesus in his death and resurrection, not see a new being united in Christ. We can come to the Lord's table and see only bread and wine, and not see Jesus and his body and blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. We see acts of mercy and see only kind people helping each other. We don't see Jesus working through you and me, helping to care for God's children around us. Our eyes are so easily deceived by the devil. Our eyes are so easily deceived by the world. Our eyes are so easily deceived by our sinful nature. But this is not something new. It has been this way since the beginning. Our parents, Adam and Eve, fell prey to this, were a victim of their own eyes. Think back to the Garden of Eden as I read a couple verses from Genesis 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. when the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This is the first example of how the eye is the pathway to our desires, to temptation, to our understanding. In the Bible, God uses eyes or seeing to help us understand just that. Proverbs 21:2 explains how our eyes are used figuratively for our desires. God writes, "Every man, way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Our eyes are also the pathway to temptation. Think about King David, after seeing Bathsheba bathing on the roof, fell to temptation to include sleeping with Bathsheba and killing her husband so he could marry her. The eyes also speak to our understanding. Jesus, when explaining to his disciples why he spoke in parables, said this, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." From Matthew 13. But there is a cure for the blindness, for the deception that enters our soul through our eyes. The cure is not LASIK surgery, but the gift of faith in Jesus Christ given by God through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is with the eyes of faith that we see an empty tomb, that we do not see an empty tomb and a sullen body, but an empty tomb and a risen Savior. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But why do some receive the gift of sight and not others? Why do some see a missing or stolen Jesus while others see a resurrected Lord? Maybe it's because the old adage, seeing is believing, should really be turned on its head and be rephrased to believing is seeing. Let me give you an example. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, the author records this miracle of Jesus. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were open. I want you to notice two things. First, the two blind men believed that Jesus was able to heal them and confessed their faith. Secondly, Jesus gives them sight according to their faith. We see this in the situation with Peter and John at the tomb. John outruns Peter to the tomb but doesn't go in. He just looks in and sees the linen cloth lying there. Peter, the ever-bold one, goes in as soon as he arrives and sees the linen body cloth, sees the face cloth, all folded neatly. John then follows Peter into the tomb, yet the gospel writer records that it is John who believes, while Peter doesn't comprehend what has actually happened, that his Lord has fulfilled his teachings and the prophecy of old. Even though Peter and John saw the same thing, though through faith, John understood the significance of the body and the face cloth folded neatly. The Savior has not been stolen, misplaced, or laid somewhere else. The Savior has been raised from the dead. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And sometimes we just don't see something because we're not looking for it. Mary goes to the tomb early that Easter morning looking for a dead body, but finds the stone rolled away instead. Upon returning after telling the disciples, she stands there crying. Looking into the tomb, she sees the two angels who ask, "Why are you crying?" I'm sure Mary's crying because she cares for Jesus immensely and wanted him to have a proper burial. Her sadness was not only that Jesus had died, but also that his body was missing and that she wasn't able to care for him in his death. Possibly sensing someone behind her, Mary turns around and sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. Though seeing, her eyes had deceived her because she wasn't expecting to see Jesus alive and walking around. Like Mary, if we look for Jesus in anything but where he says he is, we will never find him. And not until Jesus calls her by name does she see him as her resurrected Lord. John wrote earlier in his gospel that the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Mary's eyes were not open until Jesus called her by name. It was then that she understood the empty tomb to represent the risen Savior. Jesus calls our name and leads us out of the darkness, the blindness, and the ignorance of a missing body to light, sight, and understanding of a resurrected Lord. Believing is seeing, and that is why we are here today, ever so early, celebrating a risen Savior. Yes, we weren't there physically with the others to see the empty tomb that day so many years ago. Yet through faith, we see and celebrate a resurrected Jesus. Like Mary, we have heard the Good Shepherd calling us. Through our eyes of faith, we are there in the garden that morning with Mary, Peter, and John, peering in to see an empty tomb. And it is with our eyes of faith that we see a resurrected Jesus, not a stolen body. And it is with our eyes of faith that we celebrate with all the saints throughout the ages when we proclaim, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
From my house to yours, have a very blessed Easter. And to God be the glory. Amen. Amen.